Pray for the kids as they head to Sunday school. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, for this day, for this opportunity just to come before you. And Lord God, we just pray for the kids as they head out. Just bless them, help them just grow in your name. And God, as we just come before you as a body, we pray that you just take over. That this just be all about you. That you use me despite my weaknesses, that this be just you, Father God. Open our hearts and ears just to grow in your name. Holy Spirit, just move in this place. In your name. Amen. All right. So, here's the thing when you go through these kind of series. We're going through the Articles of Faith, and we're halfway through number 8, Repentance. And, you know, some are easier than others. And there's part of me that's thinking, it's summer. Wouldn't it be nice to have just a nice summer theme? You know, let's just talk about friendship. Let's just talk some, you know, because we're warm, we kind of just looking forward to going back outside. You may have a picnic later on. You may be looking forward to being out on your deck later. You could get in your RV ready for holidays. And just, let's just go through church. Just go, you know, sing the songs, listen to the sermon. Let's just do it nice. But the thing when we go through these series, it keeps even us as pastors and preachers accountable of, actually, no, we're gonna preach it. And this week is repentance. And I'll be absolutely honest with you, it's not an attractive thing to preach on. It's not. I'd love to be preaching on peace. Let's talk, you know, about peace. Talk about healings. Talk about forgiveness. It's all good. But repentance, I mean, when you hear someone talk about repentance, my mind straight away jumps to those street preachers. That you're walking down the street and they're yelling at you, repent, repent. And there's part of me thinking, when I walk past those, I'm thinking, who to you? No. No thanks. But it's serious stuff. And so we're going to look this morning at what it means to truly repent. And this image we have pretty much sums up my sermon, so we could actually be done. It's this U-turn. Because repentance, as we're going to find, we're going to discover together, is more than just saying sorry. We say to our kids when they do something wrong, what do you say? And Faith has it down, sorry. And you're like, okay, cool, keep going. And then she knows she'll do it again, but she now knows she doesn't have to wait for us to say, what do you say? She'll like hit Zeph and go, sorry. Repentance is more than just saying sorry. We as Christians are good at just saying sorry, but are we good at the repentance? Repentance means to fully regret that action. To be almost mourning that action that we did, that it has caused someone, or in this case God, offense, that we are so desiring not to do that again that we turn from that. It's an action. It's not just a word of just saying sorry and repeating, as we're going to find out more this morning. And I'm going to use scripture, which is always a good thing to use in sermons, right? And so the scripture I'm using to look through repentance, if my thingy bob works. Oh, Joe, you got a job? Use that finger. You will. Get off Facebook. Here we go. Come on, Joe. Come on. Try it now. Okay, you can give me a job. There. Oh, no. Close your eyes. There you go. Last week when I was preaching in Sundry, they Facebook Live their sermons. And it's interesting, knowing when you're preaching, knowing that this is going out live, and they have quite a few people watching it, including my mother last week, because I told her. And so when you know people are watching in different areas live, I don't know, it kind of was good. It made me not say so many dumb things. So now I'm back here and I'm not being recorded live. I'm good to go. It didn't really stop me. Okay, 2 Chronicles is kind of the passage I'm using to navigate through what repentance can look like. And 2 Chronicles reads this, chapter 4, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." And you'll see here we have a few underlined words, and they're kind of my headings or my focus points of what repentance looks like. Number one, repentance, true repentance, is humbling. We have to humble ourselves before God when we come to repent. I don't know if, I hope you have, when you've said sorry to other people, especially to your kids, when I've known as a parent that maybe I've shouted a little bit too much or done something wrong, and I think, oh, I got to say sorry to the kids, and I'm saying sorry to them, there's something in me screaming, "Shut up, you're an adult, you're okay. You're right, they're wrong, you're big, you're small, you don't have to do this." It's that pride that's saying, "Don't say sorry, you're okay." But it's right to do that, it's humbling. Or to your spouse when maybe they've said to you, "Oh, did you realize you said this to me earlier, or you did this to me?" And then it dawns on you and you're like, "Oh, I need to say sorry for this one." It's humbling. When we're talking about repentance, more than apology to God, number one is we got to know that we are talking to God. Here's just a reality. If you're sat here this morning and God's still just this nice notion, nice story, nice character, nice religion, and we don't recognize him as a true, awesome, powerful, mighty God who is above all things, creator, king, judge. The God that when Isaiah came before him and was like, "Woe is me. You are just awesome and powerful. You are holy." If we don't recognize God as that, then we're going to struggle recognizing how to repent. Because when we recognize how holy and awesome God is and how mighty he is, that leads us to repentance. In fact, Paul says that in Romans. In Romans 2, verse 4, it teaches us that it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. It's how good, how awesome God is that when we notice and realize or feel convicted that we are not doing something right by him, we want to repent. We desire to get right with him. But if we're not even at that place to recognize that God is so great and so good that you want to be right by him, then feel free to daydream, fall asleep, it's good. We'll wake you up in half an hour. Because we got to, first of all, realize who we're talking to and who we're in relationship with. We got to be humbled by a mighty God. He is that big, he is that good, he is that awesome. So repentance is humbling. Number two, when we realize that God is so awesome, and we realize that we've done something wrong of him, we're not maybe living a holy life as we should do, and you feel that conviction of going, "Oh man, yeah, I didn't realize I was doing this." What do we do? Well, just like any other relationship, when you've been told that you've done something that you shouldn't be doing, or you've been told that you've hurt somebody, you communicate. And here God teaches the people that you humble yourself and then you pray. You communicate. Now, we don't just do a communication where a blanket, "Well, God, when we're going to bed, just forgive me of anything I've done wrong today and we're good." Sometimes we're good at just those blanket things. But here it says if you and pray and seek my face. That's more than just a blanket, well, God, forgive me if anything I've done wrong. Because you're not learning. You're not really saying, you know, God, I caught myself today gossiping. I caught myself being bitter. I caught myself lusting. I caught myself doing this, all that. I am so sorry. To seek somebody's face is to get to know that person. When I think of this passage of seeking God's face, I turn to when Peter denied Jesus on the third time, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus looked at him. And through reading Scripture and getting to know the heart of God, I really don't think Jesus' look to Peter was that of anger. But I believe it's of love. But when you've done something wrong and you think of a kid when they've done something wrong and you're saying, okay, what do you say? Quite often the head goes down. Sorry. But have them look in my eye and say it. Look in my eye. Because I want my child to see that there's forgiveness here. There's love here. There's understanding here. It's okay to look up. God wants us to have this deep relationship with Him that is not just a, I'm sorry, but to look into His eyes, to get to know Him, to meditate in His place, to spend time allowing the Holy Spirit to move where you're at. And say, God, I know I messed up here early today. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for teaching. I'm sorry. To repent is to communicate. Seriously communicate. Three. Repentance is that picture of the arrow. To turn. And turn from their wicked ways. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy that you should flee from youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Turn from that sin. This is where it's not attractive. This is where repentance is not an easy thing to talk about, if we're serious about it. It's more than just saying sorry. It's if you've identified that thing that you know is not of God. And here's the thing, quite often those things that you know don't please God are often what our flesh is saying do. And so that makes it really hard. Because you're saying, okay, God, I'm seeing that you're saying I shouldn't do whatever it might be. And I'm sorry for that. But now I got to do everything I can not to continue doing that. I got to turn. But not just turn to nowhere, but turn to you, God. I think sometimes that's the mistake we do in discipleship, is we're very good at saying, especially to young people, is saying, okay, as a Christian, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. We don't teach why. We don't do enough of, well, this is why we should do it. Or instead, let's pursue Jesus. Let's pursue purity. There's blessing in that. There's peace in that. Too often we're good at just saying, just don't do it. Just don't do that. But Jesus teaches us to pursue Him. If you've been convicted of something, if God has put something on your heart, and you just keep on doing it, happily just keep on doing it, what is that saying to your respect to God? Repentance is turning from their wicked ways, turning from that sin, no matter how much your flesh really enjoys doing it, because you are recognizing how great God is. That's ultimately, again, what it comes down to. And if that's not in place, this is not really in place. Here's the response. God will hear you. He's not deaf. He's not bored of you. God will hear you and will forgive your sins. That's the truth of it. That's the prodigal son. That's the grace that we get from the death and resurrection of Jesus. is that there is hope. There is freedom. Repentance is a good thing. In fact, blessings come through repentance. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. For the nation of Israel, that's a big thing. Still is. Turn from that wicked ways. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to bless you. There is blessings in repentance. It may come in healing. Most likely, it's going to come through a huge release of a guilt that you've been holding, a burden of sin that has been weighing you down. The blessing will be that being released. King David was really good at repenting. He gets a lot of grief for stuff, but David was good. He knew how to repent. That's one of the parts why he was a man of God's own heart. He knew how to humble himself. He recognized when he did wrong, and he was good at repenting. He said here in Psalm 32, one of the many good psalms of repentance, he said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as it's in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." This burden being taken off, this blessing of repentance. For too long, David and we hold on to these things. Shame, pride, lack of respect, whatever it could become. Until we get to the point of going, "God, I can't carry this burden anymore. I am sorry. I'm sorry for whatever it is that I keep doing or I have done and I haven't asked for forgiveness for. And I want to turn from that. And I want to pursue you. I want to pursue holiness. I want to pursue your goodness. I don't want to live in this stuff that was dragging me down." And David experienced this freedom. And I've experienced this freedom. And I know there's many people here sat here to say, "Yeah, I experience a freedom that comes from in Christ Jesus." But here we're talking about hows and whys and all the rest of it. But the big question you might be asking is, how do I know what to and how to repent? I mean, you're talking about you need to repent, but I don't know if I do need to repent. Well, newsflash, we all do. We all fall short. We all need to repent. But to be more specific, here's three ways that you can know if you need to repent or not. Or how you know you need to repent. Number one, the Bible is a pretty good indication. The Bible gives you a pretty good heads up. If you've been professing to be a Christian for 20 years, yet every time you go to the supermarket, you like to just take one of those penny sweets. Yeah, God, it's only a penny sweet. Still stealing. That's just a little example. If you've been professing to be Christian for 20 years and you're still doing stuff that are blatant sin and going, "Well, I didn't know it was a sin. Have you read your Bible?" "Well, I don't like reading." I'm not the biggest reader. Jen's the geek in the family. She loves to read. But I came to a place of going, this is important. If this is important, if I am coming to church, and I was in my mid to late teens, I thought, I'm getting to the stage, I don't have to just go to church. I was around 18, 19. I don't have to just go to church. But if I'm going to go to church, I guess I should start taking this seriously. And so then when I went to Uganda for that time away for 3 months, the good thing with not having distraction is I got to read. There was nothing else to do. And so I read the whole New Testament. That was probably one of the greatest things I did in that trip. I got to get to know God. If you want to know how to live by God, if you're saying, wow, God, you are so awesome, you are so mighty, I love you, God, but we don't know how to follow him, read your Bible. It might be a discipline for you. It might be not your number one thing, but suck it up. Seriously, because it's God. Again, if God is just this nice little religious thing and you don't really get how awesome he is, then fine. But if you're saying, professing that he is good, he is mighty, he is my savior, I love him, then get to know him and get to know his ways, the clear. Number two, get good community around you. I found this one to be huge in my life. Get people around you that you are seeing pursuing Christ in their life. Whether it be just one mentor or a group of people, a connect group, whatever it might be. But people or a person, at least, that you see somebody just growing in Christ, a mature Christian, a maturing Christian, that you go, man, that person, they've got it. Well, maybe not got it, but they're certainly on a journey. And I look up to them. They're somebody that just is taking this relationship with Jesus seriously. Hang out with them. Give them the authority to speak into your life. I've been blessed in my time in Carlisle, in my time in Wales, and in my time here, where I've had good people that have spoken into my life. And they've spoken truth into me. They've said, Johnny, you said this last week, or you did this. Have you thought about that action? I need that community around me where people will say, in love, not knocking down, but in love, say, I want you to build you up. But you know, Johnny, it says this in Scripture, and you're doing this. God speaks through godly people. God speaks to those who are in communication with him. So you want to be around with those people. I had a time where in Wales where this lady came to me and she said, Johnny, I need to have a word. I've had a few of those words. Shock horror. And here I am, and she's sharing something that I said. And at first, the pride's kicking in, going, what? Come on, I was just joking. And then she gets Scripture out, and she does it in such a gracious, loving way. And she just says, this is why what your word said hurt. And you know, it turned. I just started bawling. I was the conviction was like, wow, you're right. I really appreciate that. But I also want to say, be careful. Be careful two ways. One, that you're going to be convicted. But two, be careful of who you ask. And that's why I say get good community. Don't just ask the first person you see. Ask the person that you've seen Christ in. Because I've also had people come to us. And one time we had this lady come, and she's just a different person, and just sat there and just listed out faults of Jen and I. Just listed out the faults. And I was like, wow. Afterwards, she left, and I was like, I don't think that was of God. And she was like, yeah, that was attack. Get to know the person. Get good community around you. God speaks through godly people. God speaks through people who are communicating with him. Get a good community. And three, allow God to speak into your life. Give him permission. Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Give God that permission to speak into your life. Holy Spirit, in this day, is there anything I've done that has not been of you? Allow him to speak into that moment. And it's amazing how he does. You say, God, Give me strength to pursue you. Give me strength to just follow you. So, church, we got to repent. It's not an easy one. It's not a comfortable one. It's not an attractive one. But it's essential. We got to turn from those wicked ways. We got to turn from things that are not of God and pursue Him individually and as a body. And then maybe things that you've still brought here and you were not prepared to lay them before God because it's a nice summer's day and you're looking forward to the barbecue later on or whatever you're doing. But God's speaking to you now and saying, nope, enough is enough. You're going to stop doing that. That is not of me. You are not going to grow and continue in doing whatever it might be that you know that you're continuing doing. Today's the day to say, God, I am sorry. And with the help of you and the people around me, I want to turn from that. I want to walk in freedom. I want to walk where there is no baggage. I want to pursue you because you are a holy God. You are worthy of me pursuing. So let's just have a moment of stillness before the band come. And just allow God just to speak into that. And then maybe after the song, or during it, feel God's leading you to repent, and whether it's the altars or where are you at, do it. Turn. And don't worry about other people. Too often we think when it comes to repenting or coming to the altar, well, what will other people think? If they're thinking that, they've got a plank in their eye, so don't worry about them. But the day is the day to just get right with God. Even if you've been coming here for many years. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you just, in this moment, just flow. Search us, O God. We give you permission to search our hearts and minds. You know the things that we do. You know the things that we think. God, we thank you for being so wonderful. We thank you for being so mighty. We thank you that it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. Help us focus on that goodness. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just show us your way. Be that light, that lamp to our feet. Holy God, we are sorry, Father God, for those things that we do that we know that are not of you. Lead us, teach us, Father God. Give us the strength to just turn from those things. To say, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to pursue that stuff anymore. I don't want to get involved in that stuff anymore. Because it's not of you, God, and you are good, you are great, you are bigger than that stuff. So, Father God, give us the strength to pursue you. Jesus. And put the right people in our lives, Father. Those brothers and sisters in Christ that help us to journey together as we strengthen each other and sharpen each other. Father God. We rejoice in you, Father. So, Holy God, we thank you. Keep leading us. Keep guiding us. In your name.